following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Open up your Bible, please, to Psalm 53 or your app or whatever you're using tonight. And I want to walk you through this psalm kind of quickly. It's a short psalm, and I want to give some more time for Scott and the band to come back and lead us in some more worship. Are you down with that? You ready for more of that? Yeah. They will be back in a little bit. Psalm 53 is a psalm of David. and it's a psalm that talks about a bunch of different levels of messes. How many of you encounter a little mess in your life just at least every day or two? You know what I mean? How many of you do? Let me see. Wave your messy hand if you've had some messes lately. And we had a little bit of a mess at our house. I think it was probably about 3 months ago. We were walking up to our door. I think I've told the story. Walking up to our door one night, and this bird came flying out at us. Not out of the house, but I thought, what's a bird doing up by our front door? And it was about 3 or 4 days later, I realized that same bird was there day after day because it had built a nest on our front door in a wreath that Joy had hung up there. And this cute, little, harmless bird brought bird mites with it and bird mess with it. And I just took some muriatic acid. No, I didn't. I didn't hurt the birds. I patiently waited for the bird to fly away with their mess, and they did. But still, there was a little bit of dealing with that. But in Psalm 53, this song of David, it's almost identical to Psalm 14. There's one verse that's different, which is probably the only reason that Psalm 14 or maybe Psalm 53 got included, because they're so, so identical. And it basically says, we're all a mess. Now, isn't that incredibly encouraging for you tonight to hear that? But listen to this with me. I'm going to read through for you. It's a short psalm, like I said. The fool says in his heart or her heart, there's no God. They are corrupt. That means they're broken and they're a mess. And their ways are vile. There's no one who does good. See, we were just about to say, yeah, those atheists who say there is no God, yeah. But then it says, there is none who does good. Listen to the next part. God looks down from heaven on all mankind, not just the atheists and not just the righteous, so to speak. But he looks down on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. And David's conclusion was, everyone has turned away. He doesn't say, everyone's turned away but me. He said, all of us have turned away. All have become corrupt, broken, messed up. There's no one who does good, not even one, or certainly not good enough to be saved on the basis of our goodness. Do all these evildoers know nothing? They devour my people as though eating bread, and they never call on God. But there they are, overwhelmed with dread, where there was nothing to dread. God scattered the bones of those who attacked you. One translation says, God scattered the bones of those who encamped against you, and you put them to shame, for God despised them. Oh, and here's where the song turns. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. That's another name for the city of God, for Jerusalem. Oh, the salvation for Israel and for all of us really would come out of there, Jerusalem. When God restores his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Father, open our hearts to your word tonight. Thank you for these rich, rich psalms, even like Scott was saying, Lord, songs that put our feelings into a lyric form and a musical form. And Lord, may these find a resting spot, a nesting spot in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. So he's basically saying we are all a mess. And the observation in this song is that no one, not one of us, gets straight A's. How many of you got straight A's in school? There's got to be a smart one among us. Come on, proudly raise your hand. We'll envy you, but how many of you? There's got to be a straight A person. How many got straight A's in gym or physical education? But it's telling us that none of us get straight A's. If we're grading ourselves upon the law of God and the boundaries that God has set for us. Now, school has started, and all students right now have a perfect record right now. Well, there might be somebody who was like me that could get in trouble on the first day of class before I even opened a book. And that would happen to me quite regularly. But how many of us plan? I mean, how many of you that are in school, how many of you plan on, hope to get straight A's? Maybe mom or dad said, you get straight A's. How many of you had the bargain from mom or dad? I'll give you $5. $5 would have been a fortune for us. For me, it was like maybe 50 cents for an A, 25 cents for a B. I was broke all the time in school. I didn't get great grades in school. But I'm sure there are students that are planning on, and probably some that will, get all straight A's. And you just tell them, you can do this, buddy. You can do this, honey. You just got to study. Don't get distracted. You know, choose the right friends and work hard. And that'll work for maybe literature. That'll work for math. But when it comes to our standing before God, David is right. And so is Paul when he quoted David. There's none that does righteous. No, not one. We've all fallen astray. We've all veered from the path. None of us, on the basis of our goodness, listen carefully, before we got saved or after we got saved, are going to stand before God on the basis of our own goodness. It will all be that word that Scott mentioned, the loving kindness of God. I don't know where Scott is, but I was really thinking on that over this last year and a couple of months as I've been going through the Psalms again and again and again, that it did. It's one of the most repeated words. So is refuge. It's in there a lot. But I wondered, because the word grace is kind of missing in the Old Testament. It's there a few times, a smattering of times, but not nearly as much as the New. And I wonder if the loving kindness that we find in the Old Testament is the equivalent to the grace that's spoken about in the New Testament. There's a language group in Papua New Guinea. We have friends that ministered to that people group. I think it was in Ukurumpa, which sounds like something from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but it's not. It's a real place. And I asked them when I started gathering the different ways to say grace and peace. They said, well, let me get back to you on that. We'll talk to the translator, see how far they are. They got back to me and said, well, there's really no word for grace in that language. Isn't that amazing? There wasn't any way to express a gift you were given that you didn't earn from somebody. But I love the word for peace. It wasn't a word. It was almost a paragraph to say peace to somebody. And I would say to Al, Mari Mari, there's the grace part, Al. Mari Mari, then peace was bel belong yepela, I stop easy. Say Mari Mari. Now say bel belong yepela, I stop easy. Bel belong yepela, I stop easy. And I've just told you literally, my stomach is at rest between me and you. That's peace. It's relational. But the grace that God gives us, the loving kindness, that's the only way any of us can stand on solid ground before the Lord. Amen? And listen, there's somebody here that needs to hear this tonight. Maybe you've been trying to earn your way to that place that you might even be calling salvation or right with God or just together right before God. And you'll never get that good. You just never will. You won't get straight A's. And if you don't get straight A's, you don't get in. The righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to you because his blood was shed for you. That breaks the bondage of sin. It breaks the bondage of brokenness. And it brings you into a place of a right relationship with God. You see, when it comes to standing before God, the only way is through grace. And by the way, the only way that I would ever get, not even straight A's, but an A or two, is if I had hacked into my teacher's computer and changed the grades. That's the only way that would have shown up on mine. And God's computer cannot be hacked. He knows you down deep in your heart, and he knows what David knew. He knows that you need him. So here's the point of this psalm. There is not one of us who is not already a mess. Verses 1-3. It tells us we've made a mess of our own self. We've made a mess of our own lives, whether it's the atheist that said there is no God and then lives like there is no God, and they become a God unto themselves. Or whether it's like he goes on in verses 2-3, and he says we've all stepped all over the line into what the Bible calls sin. We've disobeyed God. We've all made our own messes. In verses 4 and 5, it says there's a mess that's added by the outsiders who come against us and try to make a mess of our lives. And some of you have unfortunately been hit hard by outsiders. You made a mess of your own life, like I did, by disobeying God. And somebody else came in, and there were levels of invasion and abuse and lies and maybe thievery and people that just came and took from you something they had no business taking. And they came and maybe you could even say they pummeled you. I'll tell you, God will take that very, very seriously. It says it in the scriptures we read. He will deal with them. He will deal with those who have come against us. And we live in a world that is broken. And I'm not just talking about masks and vaccinations. I'm talking about the things that we do to one another and the brokenness that we carry with us and sometimes spill on somebody else. But there in verse 6, the end of it, let me read it to you again. The beautiful ending of this very brief psalm. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion when God restores his people, and let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. You know what that is basically saying? That's David saying, Lord, do you see the mess we've made? Have you ever said anything like that to God? Have you ever said something like this to God or Christ? Jesus, help me. And then you said it again. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. He hears that prayer. There's one or more tonight, maybe some people watching this online, that need to just humble yourself before God and say, God, I've made a mess in my life. And other people have compounded the mess on my life, and I live in a messed up world. And Jesus, help me. Help me in my family. Help me in my health. Help me in my wayward heart. Help me, Lord, out of this prison that I've worked myself into. And he will hear that. Salvation will come out of Zion. Salvation will come from the king who came riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And everybody said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. What did it mean? Save us. Jesus, help us, they were saying. And if you cry out to him tonight, I'll tell you something. He will listen to you as you lift your voice to him and you cry out to him with all of your heart. Call on your Savior to unmess the mess that you've made or the mess that somebody else has possibly plundered you with in your life. Well, David wrote about this in another psalm. I want to read the beginning and the end of this to you. It's in Psalm 12. This one really struck me as I was reading through this early in my my rotation, probably last summer. And it reads like this. Help, Lord. Don't you love that? Help, Lord, for no one's faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbor. They flatter with their lips, but harbor deception in their heart. And then he goes on. But listen to this at the end. You, Lord, will keep the needy safe and will protect us forever from the wicked who freely strut about when what is vile is honored by the human race. Can you imagine that would actually happen on planet Earth, that what is vile or forbidden or labeled as dark, dangerous, would be something that the human race would actually celebrate and honor? If you've been reading the newspaper over the last 30 years, you've seen it compound and compound and compound, where we embrace what's unrighteous and we reject what is righteous. And it comes up over and over again, David describing dangerous days when everyone's unfaithful, when the poor are plundered, he says, and the Lord will protect his people even in the darkest of times. To turn to somebody beside you, look them in the eyes and say, that's true. Go ahead, tell them, that's true. He will. Some of you are not doing it. I'm going to wait until all of you do it. We need to say that to each other. God's got this. That's what Joy loves to say. God's got this. I think that's what GGT means, right? Is that what it means? God's got this. Even in days just like this, I don't have to change America. I'm going to vote. I'm going to do my part, but it's not my job. All by my little old white-haired self, to put the world back together. My assignment is to live for Jesus and love people and love God with all my heart. Amen. Even when what is vile is honored by the world. There's always hope in the middle of your mess. There is always hope in the middle of your mess. And just in case some of you are falling asleep, turn to somebody on the other side of you and tell them that there's always hope in the middle of your mess. And his name is Jesus. Say that name. It's Jesus. This hope is in him. Jesus brought someone here tonight who knows that their mess is beyond their own ability to fix. And he wants to fix that tonight. And you need to know that you are loved by God, but that's not enough to know that. Because you can be loved by somebody that's just, oh, I love you, oh, I love you, I love you so much. I love you like a puppy dog, I love you. It's not enough to know that God loves me. I need to know more than that. I need to know that this God that loves me has the ability to fix what's broken in me and that he wants to do it. Lots of people may love you, but they can't help you. Like Jesus can help you. Yeah, Jesus loves you and he can save you and he can restore you. And get this, he can forgive you. And this is even better. He wants to do that. He came to do that. And I hope there's somebody listening way across the street at a safe distance. We got you. You need to know that Jesus loves you and that he came to save you and to forgive you for those things you can't even forget. You wish they weren't a part of your profile and nobody else may know about them. But he can forgive that and he can restore you. I got to read one more brief little psalm to you. Oh, this is one of my favorites. I sent this to a friend this week. And it's this. This is not David. This is a song from the sons of Korah. It's Psalm 46. God is our refuge and he is our strength. An ever-present help in trouble. Another way of saying that, an ever-present help in the middle of our mess. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Whoa, this is 2021. Nations are in an uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And here's the invitation tonight. Here's your invitation. I'm going to ask the band to come on back up. But here's your invitation. Come and see. Sons of Korah say. Just come and see. Try it out. Don't just sit back and critique it, but come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow that's aimed against you. He shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And he says, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and listen to this. He says this to you and to me. He says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. You know, this is very interesting, Scott. Look at this. This is the end of Psalm 46. Look at the song I have written underneath it. The song I have written, the lyrics, and I got a lot of white space in this version of the Psalms, and I've got Meet Me in the Solitary. We just sang that. I'm not saying we should sing it again. Whatever they want to sing is fine. But listen, in the stillness, be still. Be still and know that he is God and come to him. He said, come and see that the Lord is good. God is your safe refuge. There's this river. Splash around in the river of his loving kindness, his grace. Come and see and be still before him. You see, it happens to old Christians like me. We get dry and we get cold and we get distracted and we get discouraged and we get tired of waiting. And it's time to get back to the river. If you're in that space tonight, it's time to get back to the river. If you're one of those that would say, you know, you've gotten dry. It's time to say, Jesus, drench me again in your loving kindness and in your grace. And I'm going to ask as we close, if there's anybody, and I want to pray for you with our eyes open. And then we'll close our eyes to pray if we need to. But if you know God is saying it's time to get back to the river, or maybe it's time to get to the river for the first time, the river of the refreshing of God's work of salvation and God's work of restoration, then you might be the most faithful church attender at Refuge or wherever you happen to attend on a weekend or a midweek. But you know, you go in and you go out and you feel the same. And maybe you feel dry. And maybe recently you've said, Jesus, help me. Jesus, just help me. Jesus, just help me. And he's ready to help you. If you confess your need to him, and yes, if there's sin, confess the sin. You confess that he forgives it and he cleanses it. It's that simple. It's that true. He will. But get back to the river and be still in his presence. And if you've wandered, return right now and rest in his love and draw close to him. The other day on our Storm Brothers Leadership Summit that I went to, the third day of the summit, in the morning, Peter Warren, my good friend from YWAM up there, he picked up a guitar and he just started singing this, "Draw me close to you and never let me go." I lay it all down again. I love that word in there. I lay it all down again, because I pick it up sometimes. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You're my desire. No one else will do, because nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. And when he hit this last part, I just started to weep. I just did. It says this, "Help me find the way and bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know that you're here. Help me know that, Lord." And I want to ask right now, anybody that would say, here's my need. You tell God your need. But I want to invite you to make this moment a moment for you, where you stand right wherever you're seated, that you stand up to your feet and say, "I want to come back to the river. I want to bring my burden to Jesus. I want to bring the sort of simmering down of my heart and ask him to fire me up again." And if that's you, or if that's you guys that are driving by through the parking lot right now, park your car and get outside your car and stand up and say, "Jesus, take what's left of my life." If that's you tonight, and you just know you need to make this a moment of consecration of your life and a fresh surrender, I want to ask you to stand up right now, and I want to pray for you tonight. Don't put it off until Thursday. Do it right now, Wednesday night, if you know it's time to say, "Jesus, I want to be closer. Drench me. Take me to the river. Yeah, take me to the river. Yeah." Anybody else? Stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet. I want to pray for you. Pray with you. Anybody else? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. And I'll stop right there, because you never have as much time as you think you do. But you got time tonight. One more time. Stand up if it's you. And get right. Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters standing right now. And I stand with them, Lord. And we ask you to drench us. As we plunge into that river tonight, Lord, would you just drench us with your grace and your loving kindness, Lord? We love you, and we're so grateful that you love us with a perfect, undying love, Lord, a steadfast love. So, Father God, have your way in our hearts and in our lives, and we surrender and say this to Jesus right now. Would you say it out loud? Jesus, help me. Jesus, restore me. Jesus, I give you all of my life. You're all I need. You're all I really want. Help me to walk closely with you. I surrender all. In the strong name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. After we're done, why don't we all stand? After we're done, the prayer tent is over here. The Christian you walked in here with would love to pray with you. But let's keep ourselves in that place of fresh surrender every day, where we get up and say, "Jesus, help me, walk with me, strengthen me." And as I leave you right now, Mari Mari, Bel Belong Yepela, I stop easy. Grace and peace to you in Jesus' strong name. Let's sing, let's worship him.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714 714- 891-9495.